Well, I signed up to be a reader on WeAudition.com. After all these months, I'm finally there in an official capacity. What's up, everybody? This is Walker, producer of I Don't Need an Acting Class. And yes, I just signed up today to be a reader at WeAudition.com because, you know, I have so much time on my hands. No, it's because, honey, I need that income. You too can make extra money by becoming a reader on WeAudition.com. You can also find a reader for a rehearsal or a self-tape. It's really the number one resource for that purpose for actors. And think of it as an investment in your career. Normally it's $12 a month, but if you use the code ACTINGCLASS, you get 25% off. So $10 a month to make your self-tape auditions better? Yeah, I would say that's worth it, right? Again, use the code ACTINGCLASS and get 25% off today at WeAudition.com. Let's start the show. Welcome to I Don't Need an Acting Class with Milton Justice.
We're trying to give an importance to everything that we talk about, to raise the stakes. And of course, we talk a lot about what is the idea and understanding the size of ideas. In the back of our minds, I would say make a note called aim high. Be ambitious about your choices. And I'm going to give you a couple of things that I picked up along the way that I found in some notes I took at the Stanislavski Symposium. And there were notes from Maestro Smiljanski, who is the head of the Moscow Art Theater School, who must be the nicest man ever. And he very embarrassingly said to me, you know, I met Stella Adler once. So we became friends. It was very sweet. Some ideas, and aside from very destructive teachers who are trying to give you shortcuts, I think really good, decent teachers are trying to give you another road in to help you raise the stakes. They're trying to give you some other clues of how to think about choices, or think about your relationship to your partner, or think about your relationship to the circumstance of your play, and give you some things that will help you say, all right, yes, maybe if I think in those terms, it will help me raise the stakes. It will help me get more ambitious about our choices. It will help me aim higher in my choices. So I have like three things to suggest to us today. It will be helpful for you to look on a monologue as a need that you have to change the existing situation. I like that. I think it's helpful because what it does is you say, okay, there is something that exists and I need to change it. It kind of goes hand in hand with the idea of there's an event, but there's something that I need to change. Mr. Suggested that you think in terms of, perhaps, I want you to blank so that I blank. Just something to throw out there. That would be something that you could have as trying to get your partner to do something because there's something you want. So then I want to add to that a couple of things. First, picture your partner doing what you want them to do and saying what you want them to say. React to them as if they're doing it, and then react to them as if they're not doing it. And again, these are like little things, you know, I think they're stolen from life. Sometimes when we talk to people, sometimes when we tell people something, we're looking for a response from them. And part of the response, built into the response, is the idea that they may disagree, that they may be an obstacle. So any of these things turn the dial. Then he suggested, do the scene again, being aware of what you want and stopping them from doing what you don't want. And I think these are very good. I think these are very good because what they're helping you do is, without artificially raising the stakes, without artificially, somebody says, oh, you know, raise the stakes. You know, it needs more urgency. Those are notes that people have given actors forever. I'm just not getting at that. But what it does is it allows you to be more active. Sometimes when I teach, I think you get it. But I imagine that you don't get it, but I want you to get it. And so then it gives me a slight grab to make it clearer. And that gives it more urgency. That heightens the action. It heightens it because built into it is that you may not understand this. Does any of this make sense? Does this seem like this may be helpful? It's so much better to me than just saying, you know, your choices aren't ambitious enough. It's like, what do you do with a piece of information like that? You know, it's like, oh, I got to have more ambitious choices. I don't even know what that means. It's like when somebody says, you know, it needs more urgency. It's like, so what do I do? You know, tense up my double chin. I mean, all of those things have this kind of effect syndrome, which to me, it's, I think playing an effect has so many dangerous byproducts. It's like, I'm going to play it stronger. I'm going to play it more meaningful. I'm going to play it, you know, it's what leads to my favorite term, earnest acting, the I mean it, I really mean it, school of acting. So this, I think, will help us a little bit, and we'll find other things to say, all right, I'm working on this, and the people I'm talking to, I'm imagining how I would like them to respond to what I'm saying. If I'm doing a play, I imagine what I would like my partner to respond to, what I want him to do, what I want her to do, what I want them to say. So I have that. Then I add to it this other element. And the other element is, if I do this monologue, if I do this scene as if they understand, now I'm going to do it as if they are not doing what I want them to do. They are not saying what I want them to say. They are not understanding what I want them to understand. One of the things that helps us as actors is when we have in mind the possibility of a negative outcome. It's the difference between when you're trying to pick someone up at a bar and when you start the brilliant dialogue that usually goes with a bar pickup, and it's like the difference between when you assume they're going to respond to you and when you think they won't. It's all part of the play is not in the dialogue. It's all part of the play is not in the text.
This feels like it's kind of in the same vein of giving yourself an obstacle so that it brings you more to life.
And just the way you just said it made me think, boy, acting is really boring.
I quit.
That's that tone I'm talking about. Teo, stop being so technical. Stop taking so many notes. Here's what we're all trying to do. We are trying to give ourselves something believable that will help us raise the stakes, the importance. If I'm doing an etude slash improvisation, I can play with all of that. I can play with the idea that I know what I want you to do. I fear what you might do, and I'm going to stop you from doing what I fear that you might do. You know, I'm going to stop you before you start. It's like if I'm trying to stop you, it's active. I think it's just a really, really good tool to help keep things active.
I Don't Need an Acting Class is created and hosted by Milton Justice. Senior producer is me, Walker Vreeland, and director of online media is Evan Sollers. Music provided by Jeffrey Keyser Trio, May This Be Love, from their album On My Way to You. If you have a question for Milton, please feel free to send your email to questionsformilton@gmail.com. That's questionsformilton@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram @IDon'tNeedAnActingClass, and please subscribe, rate, and review. It's all we ask. It's all we ask. We don't do Patreon. We're not begging you for money. All we ask is that if you like the podcast, if you're getting stuff out of it, you subscribe and you rate and you review it. I can't tell you how much that would mean to us. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you back here next week.